す初めの一歩、目の一歩踏み出す、目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team whose manager once used the strategy of disrespecting the Giants' manager in order to help his team overcome their inferiority complex. That's right, manager Sadayoshi Fujimoto in the 1960s started to call the Giants' manager Tetsu instead of calling him by the more respectful or honorific Kawakami, Kantoku, or whatever. And this was a way for his team to see that they did not need to fear, they did not need to overly respect the Yomiuri Giants. That's the way we roll, Hanshin Tigers. I'm your host, T-Ray. This is today, June the 12th, 2017, and this is episode number 65. Welcome to the show. We are going to talk a little bit about our number 65s before we talk about 1965. So first, in the year 2003 to 2004, we had a reliever named Jared Riggin, and he was part of the championship team in 2003, but he did not last very long with the team. I don't know a lot of the details of his time, but he obviously was not good enough to last for a long time. And currently, we have a guy by the name of Ryosuke Ogata. He is a diminutive guy who apparently has some decent punch in his bat, but he has never really made it up to the top squad for a very long time. His best time with the club was in 2014, where I think he spent like 20 some games in a row with the team, and that was when Fukudome was injured and slumping and farmed. Anyways, let's talk about the year 1965 now. So in the 1960s, up until this point, 61, Yomiuri wins. 62, Hanshin wins. 63, Yomiuri wins. 64, Hanshin wins. And so, 1965, obviously, you know, Yomiuri is going to win. In fact, they did win, but, you know, Hanshin had hopes of winning the Nippon Ichi for the first time ever and were unable to do so. Some of the reasons for this, first of all, pitcher Minoru Murayama. He was, you know, one of the aces on the team, along with Gene Baki. And Murayama, during an exhibition game in Fukuoka, when they were facing the Nishitetsu Lions, the game was rained out. And what ended up happening was he decided to do some practice pitching anyways, and the coaches said, okay, go ahead, throw your bullpen and leave. And he was like, no, I want to face live pitching or live hitting. And so they had a Hanshin guy stand in the batter's box and actually, you know, take some swings and stuff. And one of those swings that the guy took ended up hitting Murayama in the hand, broke some of his bones, and he ended up missing a couple of months of action. And that is one of the reasons that the team struggled early on. However, that is not the reason for them to lose the whole thing, because they ended up something like 19 and a half games out of first place, and they only batted 220 on the year, and neither of those were in Murayama's control. One more thing of note on this season, which is outstanding, that we need to definitely mention, and that is that Gene Baki threw a no-hitter against the Yomiuri Giants. I think it was in June of 1965. So pretty impressive stuff. If you want to read a little bit more details about that, I've got an interview on the website with Gene Baki. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can click on that and go access that and read a little bit more about that. We talked about all sorts of things. Anyways, enjoy that, and we are going to be right back with the rest of the show after this. Safe under death, his joy consumes. Give it unto God, he'll follow through. I trust in you, I follow you. Before we get into the actual show, I just want to issue an apology for some of the words that I used on last week's show. And you may or may not have noticed it. If you did notice, if you were offended, I apologize from my heart. I did not mean any disrespect or any hurt or anything to anybody by using those words. It was carelessness on my part, and I will not do it again. And thank you to John E. Gibson from the Japanese Baseball Weekly podcast for pointing that out to me. Again, you know, it's not something that I did on purpose. It's not even something that I noticed until it was pointed out to me. And so apologies. Again, please forgive me. And, you know, if you notice me saying something that is offensive in the future, you know, by all means, send me an email, you know, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. Let me know, because, you know, I want to correct my mistakes. I am not trying to do anything to offend anybody. And, you know, if I do say something that should not be said, more often than not, it's because I didn't even realize that I'd said it, or I didn't realize how offensive it was at the time. So please accept my apologies, and let's move forward with the rest of the show. we are going to jump straight into the recaps. And so this past week, we were on the road for the whole week in Pacific League stadiums, and that means that we were using the DH all week. So let's jump into Tuesday's action. We were just across the river, the Yonagawa River, in Osaka, facing the Oryx Buffaloes on Tuesday. Of course, we had Akiyama on the mound, and they had Kaneko on the mound for this one, their ace, who is having a great year to an extent, but not his night tonight. On this night. So, in the bottom of the first, though, before we get into the Hanshin action, actually, Akiyama gave up a couple of runs. Those are both on base hits, so no big flies, anything like that, but it's 2-0 already after one inning. In the top of the third, we got some of that back and then some. We actually got tons back. So, an RBI hit by Uemoto, followed by an RBI hit by Takayama, tie game, followed by another RBI hit by Haraguchi. 3-2 for us, followed by a big three-run blast by Takashi Toritani, so 6-2. And it stayed that way until the top of the sixth when we added on to the damage on Kaneko before he left the game. Started with an Itoi RBI single to make it 7-2, followed by an infield hit by Takayama, which then was parlayed into an error, which made it 8-2. And then with the bases loaded, Haraguchi with another double for two more runs coming in. So now it's 10-2. And it ended with Ito, their catcher, allowing a pitch to get past him. It was a pass ball. And so the runner on third base ended up scoring on that. So 11-2. And it stayed that way until the bottom of the ninth when they got a couple runs back. Again, no home runs, but they got a mini rally going together. And this one ended 11-4 for us. So we're pretty happy with the results there. Of course, the win goes to Akiyama and the loss gets tagged to Kaneko. A few things to note in this one. First of all, we switched up our outfield. So instead of having Takayama in left, Itoi in center, and Fukudome in right, we had Fukudome in left, Takayama in center, and Itoi in right. And Kanemoto explained this by saying that he wanted to, you know, get these guys used to potential new positions under a domed roof so that it would be easier for them to make the adjustment where there's no winds and so on and so forth. My personal thing is, my guess is that because Itoi was playing at Kyocera Dome where he played so many years with the Oryx Buffaloes, they wanted to give him right field where the right field fans, which is typically where the home team's fans, the hardest core of the hardcore fans gather, they would be able to kind of be able to cheer him on from closer. And I think they were kind of paying a bit of respect to Itoi by doing that. That's my guess, but I could be wrong on that. The Buffaloes got 12 hits. A lot of them were soft. They were seeing eye singles or just little bloops over the infield or whatever, so not a big deal there. Umeno again flashing the big gun by throwing down a runner at second. The runner was slow to get back to the base. This was in the first inning, so they had a chance to really break things open, but Umeno got the first out of the game. There were runners on first and second with no outs, and he gunned down the guy at second, so that helped Akiyama out a lot. Toritani hit that home run. That was his 305th career interleague hit, which puts him on the top of the charts. He has the most interleague hits in NPB history. Of course, interleague has only been around for 12 years, and he joked around afterwards saying, you know, when I retire, somebody's going to come along and break my record, so I don't really care about it. And he might be right, but the other thing is that, you know, when interleague first started, there were 36 interleague games on the season. And that continued for a couple of years, and then it went down to 24, and now it's down to 18. Well, if they stick with 18, it's going to be pretty tough for somebody to put together impressive enough numbers to break that 305, which is actually now up to, let me see, I think it's around 311 now. Anyways, it's going to keep going because we got one more week of ball, and then, you know, Toritani's got a couple more years on his contract. So, you know, that number could be anywhere from 325 up to, who knows, maybe even 350 if he has a really long and productive career. Anyhow, the other thing is that home run was the team's 7,777th ever home run. So just a little magic there. Good thing it took place in a win. Otherwise, I don't know what they would have said because lucky sevens with an unlucky loss. Anyhow, last couple of things, Matsuda, Ryoma Matsuda, he was called up as a reliever, and he was put in this game, and he got hammered in his first inning back. Those two runs in the ninth were against him, so he's not looking too good. He did not see any action after that on the week. The hero of the game was Haraguchi, and after the game, Eric Campbell was farmed. Maybe because he went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, which is definitely not your way to appeal when you're looking for extra playing time. So tough luck for him. So we are an all-Japanese hitting lineup heading into Wednesday's action, Atsushi Nomi versus Daiki Tome. And we did some good stuff early on in this one. In the first inning, we had the bases loaded with just one out, and Haraguchi hit a ground out to shortstop. Actually, he broke up a double play because it was pretty close, and a run scored on that, so 1-0. And then it took us until the fourth inning to get anything else going, but Haraguchi double followed by a Toritani single, and then a three-run home run by Mr. Nakatani. So 4-0. Looking pretty good. And Nomi has been dealing through four innings, allowing just one hit, a couple walks in there as well, but pretty good stuff from Nomi until the fifth. He allows a leadoff home run, so it's 4-1. And then in the sixth inning, he fell apart. Before he could record a single out, he allowed four consecutive hits, and they were you know, not super hard hits, but they were hits nonetheless, and they scored a couple runs, so it's 4-3, and there's still runners on base. And we brought in Kuwahara to try to end it, but he was unable to, so the inherited runner scored, tie game, 4-4. And it stayed that way until the ninth inning, with Mateo on the mound and one out and runners on first and second. They hit a walk-off single. It went off of, I think it was Itohara at shortstop. It went off of his glove and into left field, and they scored the game-winning run. So 5-4, a disappointing loss for the Tigers after leading 4-0. That kind of hurts, especially, you know, Nomi was pitching so well. And I think he had like some kind of blister on his finger or something, or you know, his finger was bleeding. And so they'd talked about that. You know, that may have led to a bit of his downfall. But the other thing is, like, I've noticed that Nomi has been running out of gas a lot faster this year than in previous years. I don't know if you've noticed that, but right around the 100 pitch mark, maybe even a bit before that, he seems to kind of be allowing a few more hits. And so maybe he's just a six inning guy from now on. I don't know if we can expect complete games from him anymore like we used to get back in the heyday. So the series goes 1-1 heading into Thursday, and we put Messenger on the mound and they put Dixon on the mound. So it's a battle of the foreigners. Ends up being a pretty good pitching battle, but they got the better of us in the bottom of the first inning with runners on first and second. Koyano hit one to left field for a single run scoring, but Toritani got that right back. Well, it wasn't an RBI, actually. With runners on first and third, he hit into a double play, which was enough for the runner from third to score. So 1-1 tie. And we took the lead in the top of the fifth, where Nakatani hit an RBI single up the middle with a runner on third. And then in the top of the sixth, also with a runner on third. This one, I think, was straight up the middle by Fukudome. So now it's 3-1 for us. Looking pretty good. Bottom of the sixth, Randy is having a bit of problems keeping things together. And with a runner on second base, Morel gets an RBI double to make it 3-2. It's looking pretty tight. Randy actually did not get out of that inning, 5 2/3 innings. But fortunately, this one stayed that way the rest of the way. So we end up with a 3-2 win and a series win in this one. Some notes. Hojo made the start, which is first for him in a long time. I can't remember the last time he started a game. We had a nice defensive play in the sixth inning. This is with Randy still on the mound, where Nakatani made a nice catch in the corner in right field. A nice double saving catch. So that was really sweet stuff. Mateo bounced back from the night before when he was the losing pitcher. He threw an eighth inning on just 9 pitches. He got out of it, so that was pretty good. We're glad to see that. And the hero of this game was Masahiro Nakatani, partly for his RBI hit and partly for his nice catch in the sixth inning. So overall, since 2005, we are 26-26-1 against these Oryx Buffaloes. Pretty even. It makes for a Kansai Derby, as they call it. It makes for something that's somewhat of a classic. And, you know, when I look back on the years that we did really well in Interleague, we pummeled Oryx. And the years that we did really poorly in Interleague, we got pummeled by Oryx. And so it just seems that, you know, they are one of the keys for us having a successful or unsuccessful Interleague. Well, we move forward into Fukuoka for a weekend series against the Hawks. Yeah, the Hawks, who have beaten us way too much over the years. It seems like every year they beat us in Interleague. But in fact, I think we tied the season series in Interleague back in 2014. This is when it was a 24-game schedule and we played each team four times. I think it was a 2-2 that year. Anyways, so on Friday, we put Iwasada on the mound and they bring the big Dutchman, Rick Vandenhurk. And man, did he ever get the better of us. We struck out 14 times on the night. Not to get ahead of myself too quickly here, but that was the kind of game it was. It was whiff city for us. And so in the first inning, with a runner on second base, they got an RBI hit from Yuki Yanagita. And then two innings later, Yanagita replicated his magic, this time not with an RBI, but not with an RBI single, but with a home run. This is an opposite field ball that he just crushed. That guy has got quite the swing. I mean, like, he swings with all his strength every time he swings, it seems. And yeah, he got all of this one. So Iwasada kind of continuing his trend of giving up home runs to big name batters. And, you know, he did that a lot last year in Interleague. He did it again here, but he hung in there after that. I think he went 7 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. So not too bad. But did you notice T-Ray did not mention the Hanshin bats? You want to know why? There were none. The most crucial part of this game was in the top of the 6th inning when Hanshin had runners on 2nd and 3rd with no outs. This came on back-to-back singles by Itoi and Uemoto. And then I think it was a pass ball. So anyways, Takayama flew out to left, but it was a very shallow fly ball, and so the runner couldn't score from third. And then Fukudome struck out. That was one of 4 strikeouts on the day for him. And then Haraguchi popped out to first base. So we got no runs. And seriously, after I saw that, I was like, this team is not scoring today. I mean, that completely deflated the team. And going up against the Fukuoka relief squad, good luck. I mean, they've got, okay, so Mori was their first guy that they brought out. He's got an ERA of 2.12. And then it was Iwasaki, not sure which one. His ERA is 0.61. And then they bring in Dennis Sarfate, and he's got an ERA of 0.42. So seriously, like, if SoftBank has a lead after 7 innings, the game's over. And so really, the 6th inning was our last chance, and we did not take it. So that was that. Pretty tough stuff. One more note, very important note in this one, and that is that Yoshio Itoi got hurt. He probably got hurt early in the game when he stole a base, but he left the game after his single in the 6th inning. He was replaced on the base pass by Ryota Arai, and he only showed up as a pinch hitter, I think it was on Sunday, after that. So he did not play at all on Saturday. The team has no plans of putting him on the DL, on the shelf. So that's good news, I suppose, but they are going to be taking this very slowly. You know, it's a hamstring injury, and when running is one of the things that you are required to do a lot of as a center fielder and as a base stealer, you know, you really can't push things too hard. So I don't know when we're going to see him back in the starting lineup. I would say the sooner the better, except that really, I mean, the healthier the better. I would almost say just deactivate him for the 10, let him rest, and bring in somebody that might be able to do something. But we're not going to do that. So let's move on to Saturday. We bring the Blue Goats, Aoyagi, to the mound, and they bring Matsumoto, who got his first win last week and looked pretty good doing it. But he did not look pretty good in this one. So in the top of the 2nd inning, we got an RBI double, 2 RBI double from Itohara. And then a couple batters later, a 2 RBI double from Uemoto. And so it's 4-0 after the top of the 2nd. And the Blue Goat goes all the way until the 5th without giving up a walk, without giving up a run. Oh, what? Is this the Blue Goat that we all know and love? What's going on? Anyways, he allows a seeing eye single to Munenori Kawasaki in the bottom of the 5th with runners on 1st and 2nd. They scored 1 run. That was their only run. And we got another one in the top of the 8th, thanks again to the wild pitch. And this was Fukudome, I believe, who came in to score on that. So 5-1. And that's how she ends. We did not even have to use Rafael Dolis. We did not have a save in this one. Aoyagi gets the win. That's his 3rd straight Saturday with a win. Aoyagi, in the bottom of the 1st, when he needed it, he had a couple of runners on base. He got the strikeouts. He struck out Yanagita and Despagne in succession to get out of the inning. Our relievers were incredible. Takahashi, Kuwahara, Iwasaki, Mateo really did the job. They shut him down for 4 straight innings. And The other thing was that there was a good defensive play by them, and this is going to come back again in our Sunday report, but Shunsuke with a single up the middle. This is with two outs in the top of the fourth, and Itohara was on second, and he got gunned down at the plate, so we did not add to our lead there. The hero of the game, by the way, was Itohara. So now it is 1-1, and we actually have a chance to win a series against these SoftBank Hawks. We put Taiki Ono on the mound, and they put some guy named Yamada. They were going to have Kodai Senga. If you remember last week's show, me and Christian both mentioned that. And Senga went down, has been deactivated. So this Yamada is a lefty. Doesn't throw very hard, but he gets a lot of movement on his pitches. In the bottom of the first, though, Ono blew things apart. He walked a total of four guys in that first inning. He allowed an RBI single to Despaigne, followed by a bases loaded walk to Akashi, so 2-0. A couple innings later, with runners on first and second, he allows an RBI hit to Matsuda. So now it's 3-0. And then top of the fifth, Umeno scoops one. This one was a low pitch on a full count, and he hit it into the left field stands. So, it was a solo shot, 3-1. A couple innings later, Itohara with an RBI hit to right field. So now it's 3-2. It's looking pretty good. We got runners on first and third. No guy. Inning over. We bring in Takahashi for the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth. Takahashi does not shut them down. They get a couple more runs thanks to Imamiya and Yanagita. So that be that. 5-2 final. We did nothing, of course, in the ninth against Sarfate. Could you expect us to? So we lose. So the series, 2-1. The overall series now with the Hawks, 23 wins, 27 losses, 3 ties. Again, Ono was playing in front of his home crowd. He's a Fukuoka boy. I don't know if that affected him, but you know, he was like Shintaro out there with the 4 walks in the first inning, 6 walks overall. SoftBank got another outfield assist in the top of the second. So again, we got a runner gunned down at home. That was Toritani. They made a couple of other nice plays, I think, in the top of the first, was it, with Shunsuke. Yeah, Shunsuke's starting because Itoi's hurt. Shunsuke with a hit to right center, and it ended up being a non-hit because of Yanagita's fine legs and jumping catch or sliding catch. So good defense by these Hawks, gotta admit. And then for our part, that final play, I think it was the Yanagita double, it was some bad defense by either Takayama or Shunsuke. I forget who was in left field at the time. Okay, I do want to talk a little bit about our DHs, because now that our time using the DH is over, before we jump into anything else, let's talk about how bad it went for us, Hanshin Tigers, using the DH. You wouldn't believe it. We did really well in that first series against the Chiba Latte Marines. We put Itoi in as our DH, and for the first 2 games, he went a combined 3-for-5 with 6 walks and a home run. But then after that, folks, for 6 of the next 7 games, we got no hits from our DHs. June 1st, Itoi, 0-for-4, 2 strikeouts. June 6th, Eric Campbell, 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts. June 7th, 0-for-3, 2 strikeouts from Fukudome. June 8th, 0-for-3 with a strikeout from Itoi. June 9th, 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts from Fukudome. June 10th, 0-for-2 with 1 strikeout from Fukudome. He also walked and got hit by a pitch. And finally, June 11th, that be yesterday, Fukudome with 1 hit in 4 at-bats with 1 strikeout. So we got 1 hit in those final 7 games with the DH. Overall, 4 hits. If you want to read this in a little bit more detail and see what kind of situations these guys faced, like how many base runners were on, what the score was, what chances these DHs had to come through for us and then fail, go to the website. I've got an article about the DH there. www.thehunchingtigers.com.
This is your week.
Player of the week. It's a little bit tough this week around, and the reason for that is we went 3-for-3 on the week, which is not terrible, but when you consider that the only day that we scored a lot of runs was the first day of the week when we got 11, after that we got 4, 3, 0, 5, and 2. So not a ton of production other than that first day. And then as far as pitchers go, our winning pitchers on the week were Akiyama, who allowed 12 hits, Messenger, who went 5 2/3, And then the Blue Goat, who only pitched 5 innings. So not a ton of great starting pitching. And then our relievers, uncharacteristically, in 3 of those 5 games, two of them being losses, our relievers end up giving up runs. So I hesitate to give the player of the week to any of the pitchers. And then as far as the hitters go, there were only 2 guys that actually had pretty solid weeks. You know, as I just ran through the DH roll call there, all the zeros, you can see that our main hitters didn't really do a lot. And so the 2 guys that actually had decent weeks were Kento Itohara. He went 5-for-13 with 3 RBIs. And Takashi Toritani, who went 7-for-21 with a home run and 3 RBIs. Of course, those 3 RBIs were all on that home run. But I'm actually going to give it to Toritani anyways, because he did hit the ball fairly well the rest of the week. He did set the new record for career hits in interleague play. And he's just a good guy. That's not reason to give an award, but, you know, we'll give him the sticker anyways for this week. You get the H10 Player of the Week, buddy. Congratulations. All right, here we go. We are looking at our predictions for the upcoming week and just some interleague talk. And so Christian Jin from Graveyard Baseball is back to share with us about the 2 teams that we are going to be facing. We have got the Saitama Seibu Lions for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we have got the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All games at Koshien, all on Central League fields, of course. That meaning no more DH, everybody. Yes! We can go back to our pitchers hitting 130 instead of our DHs hitting 130, which is far less frustrating, by the way. Just so you know, against the Saitama Seibu Lions, we are currently on a 3-series losing streak. We have lost the series to them 3 years in a row, so 2014, 15, and 16. And overall, we are 4 games below 500 against them. They also are on a great hot streak right now. I think they have won 8 of their last 10. They are 8-1-1 in their last 10 games, so they are tearing apart the Central League. Now, part of the reason for that is they did get to face some pretty soft competition. They faced the Yomiuri Giants in there. And this might be a good time to mention that the Yomiuri Giants set a club record for 13 straight losses. That's better. That's worse than what they did back in 1975 when they lost 12 straight. And in fact, when they lost 12 straight, it was actually 0-12-1. There was a tie somewhere in there. This was a clean 0-13-0. Sorry, it was an 11-game streak in 1975, not a 12-game. So they went 0-11-1. Anyways, this was 0-13-0. So Yomiuri Giants, you guys stink. And we're going to have to start dissing all of your players, not calling you Kantoko or San or Senshu or Toshu or anything like that. You guys just all stink. And I read an article today. This is a side rant. Thank you very much. I read an article today where a former Giant said, look, it's time for us to recognize that this team is going through a rebuilding phase where, you know, the main players on the team are aging and the young players have still not grown into, you know, starting roles and so on and so forth. Oh, cut the baloney. You know, you guys went out and got the three of the best free agents on the market this past offseason as if you were in a rebuilding phase at the start of the year. You're only saying that now because you guys suck, because you lost 13 in a row, because you are, what, 10 games below 500 or maybe 11 or 12? So can it. And thanks for sucking, you guys. Because you know what? The only time that Hanshin ever wins the pennant are the years that the Giants suck. And so since you guys are sucking so bad, maybe this is our year. Thank you very much. Okay, back to what I was saying. Seibu, they beat the Giants. They beat the DeNA BayStars 2 out of 3. And they beat, I think they might have swept the Swallows in there too. So, you know, that's not to say that they are going to absolutely smoke us as well. The other thing that I'll say before we let Christian get some words in here is that the Lions are a team of major ups and downs. I mean, they have some real hot streaks and they have some real cold spells. That just seems to be the way that they roll. And I can't help but wonder, now that they're playing in a CL park against hopefully what I would like to call a competent team, you know, this might be their time to start their cool spell, you know, to end off this interleague schedule, but you never know. Anyways, Christian, take it away.
Hello, guys. Once again, Christian Jin here, coming to you from Graveyard Baseball, covering all things Saitama Seibu Lions in English. And this is, of course, the last edition of the Pacific League takes on the Hunt H10 podcast. So first of all, you're going to face my favorite team, the Saitama Seibu Lions, as they come to Koshin, and then I know there's also a homestand as it continues, as you face the Rockets and Eagles. First of all, I'll talk about the Lions, a team that I know pretty well. This is a team that's really played pretty well coming up to this point. Really minor complaints. First of all, you're likely to see Ryoma Nogami, Yosuke Okamoto, and Ken Togami as the rotation guys. Nogami is really a number three. He's played pretty well up to this point. Really a guy that I think most of us have viewed as a back-end starter, but he's done well up to this point as a number three. And then there's Yosuke Okamoto, who had a spot start against the Giants, and he played well. This is a guy we view as an awful pitcher. He usually hangs up breaking balls, and people will take it yard. But he faced a Giants team that's cold, and everything worked to his favor. I mean, it was something when he got the hero interview last week. So he's likely to start again in the following week. And then there's also Ken Togami, who lately has played better. And this is a guy, once again, who we view as a back-end starter. But he's also played better in the last month or so after starting the year at Nigun. Really, he was supposed to be a front-end starter. And now, after regressing so badly last year, we don't know what to think of him. But he's a guy that's dependent on the breaking ball, and he's a guy that can eat up innings. But we really don't know which Ken Togami are going to get. But lately he's played very respectful, and we'll take that up at this point because the last year was pretty awful. He was a pretty hard pitcher to watch. It's pretty much the middle and back end of the rotation. I think the Tigers are probably going to throw Akiyama out there with Nomi and Messenger. So, yeah, the Lions, a lot of guys from Kansai. It feels like we're the Kansai Lions of guys coming back. Of course, in the lineup, you're familiar with Hideto Asamura, and then Okawari-kun, better known as Takeya Nakamura, the Osaka Toen duo. Of course, Tomoya Mori, former teammate of Fujinami, is still injured, but it's sad that we won't get to see that matchup where Mori gets to have an at-bat against Fujinami. That was our dream, and probably every high school fan's dream. We're not going to see that happen. But there's also other players from Kansai. You got Yuji Kaneko in the outfield. He's back. He's from Kyoto. Genjiro Sumitani, the catcher, he's also from Kyoto. And then Takumi Kuriyama, who made a couple nice catches last year in left field, is from Kobe. So a bunch of Kansai Lions. And then, of course, backup catcher Masatoshi Okada is also from Osaka Toen. So Kansai all over the board. Though this team has been fun to watch, mainly because of Sosuke Genda. The defense at shortstop has been much better, much improved, and it's good to see a guy who could possibly be Rookie of the Year. I mean, his speed is valuable, but he's also smart as a runner on the base path, and then his defense is what we've been waiting for, is a guy that can steal some hits. Genda's defense, combined with his speed, has made him one of the more valuable players on the Lions. I mean, it is very surprising so far. And of course, Shogo Akiyama, which no one talks about. It's like you take this season for granted, because 2 years ago, of course, he set the single-season hits record, which I know who he beat previously. I'll let you guys, you probably all know who that is. But, yeah, Akiyama is having a fine year. He's off to a very strong start. And really, it's been interesting that there's a balance of speed and power. I think the Lions, we've known that they have a lot of power hitting with guys like Ernesto Mejia and Okawari-kun, but surprisingly, it's the speed and just being able to get on base. That's what's made this team exciting and fun to watch. Now, there are some weaknesses, of course, the rotation. A lot of us have been questioning the rotation, especially on the back end. I mean, they're just throwing guys out there, and so far, I think they're about 500 when they throw the back end of the rotation in a game. So they're holding up their ground okay, and we've been very amazed up to this point. But we don't know how long that lasts. As Lions fans, we're enjoying the ride because, I said, this team is fun to watch. The one thing we are going to probably point out is Tsuyoshi Masuda, the closer. He's been the guy with issues. The bullpen is mostly a strength, like when Brian Schlitter and Kazuhisa Makata are in. But Masuda has been scary in the ninth inning this year. And I know recently he helped blow a four-run lead to the Swallows and even to the Bay Stars. I think he blew a one-run lead overnight. So he's a scary one. But other than that, the bullpen will be a strength going into Koshin. It's just a matter of how do the starters hold up. In terms of predictions, I think the Lions can take 2 out of 3 like last year. I think last year I picked 2 out of 3, but this year I'm going to just kind of hold back. I think Yosuke Okamoto is not the greatest. I think someone else may get lit up by the Tigers. So I think the Tigers are going to take 2 out of 3, but of course my heart says 2 out of 3, but my head is predicting Tigers 2 out of 3, though it could go either way. I don't think the defense is as invincible as last year looked out to be. I think right field is kind of meh. I mean, the arms are not the greatest, but I know last year the Lions made all these catches that made them look invincible. I will say there's range. This team does have really good range, but they don't have the arms. And also, of course, Okawadi-Kun is hurt, so we don't even know if he'll play a lot or he'll just pinch hit. Maybe they're going to limit him, so he's just a pinch hitter. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think the Lions can compete. They have the lineup to compete. Maybe they can light up Nomi or Akiyama for a day. I think Messenger is probably going to shut them down. That's the only thing I see is an automatic loss in him. But once again, I see the Tigers taking 2 out of 3 in Koshin.
Well, as you could hear from all that detail, you know, Christian is a Lions man. He knows this team front and back, you know, top and bottom. He knows them all over the place, all over the map. And Christian, by the way, has never been to Japan, but he follows the team from stateside and does a great job. I mean, you know, scouring the internet, finding the articles, you know, doing the translation work necessary as much as he can for a guy that, again, that doesn't speak a ton of Japanese, writes articles, does a podcast, you know, pretty amazing stuff. And so, you know, if I didn't like the Tigers so much, and if I didn't have another PL team that I kind of liked, that being the Fighters, I would probably go for the Lions. I mean, they sound like a great club, and you know, Christian gives a lot of details. So thank you for all the work that you do, Christian, on your website and your podcast and on Twitter and all that stuff. Now, as Christian said, it's going to be Nogami and then Yoshioka and then Togame, probably. And it's going to be Akiyama, Nomi, and Messenger. So since I'm going to tomorrow's game, June the 13th, with Akiyama on the mound, we have to win. I mean, T-Ray's going, and it's T-Ray's birthday coming up. And so win one for the T. So I'm calling that one from my heart. And also just because, you know, we're coming off the series loss, I think that, you know, the day off is going to give us a chance to clear our heads. Going back to Koshien, hopefully we'll be able to get some of that Hanshin magic going again. The 2017 year is a magical year so far, you guys. There have been some awesome wins, some great stories. So it all starts again June 13th, the game that T-Ray's at. Then June the 14th, it's going to be Nomi against Yoshioka, probably. Yoshioka apparently is not a very good pitcher, so we definitely have a chance in that one, especially if Nomi can bounce back to his old self, and literally old 38-year-old self. And then Messenger, you know, there's always a chance for us to win with Messenger on the mound. He's going up against Togame. If they had been bringing in Yusei Kikuchi, I might have hesitated to say that we would win that one. But, you know, I've been predicting a 3-0 Hanshin series win every first half of the week. So, you know what that means? I can't stop. I can't stop. We got to do it. Here's the other thing. We can't. Sorry, guys, I'm talking from my heart. We can't go 2-1 or 1-2 in every single series in Interleague. That's no fun. There's got to be a sweep one way or the other. Let this be our sweep. Come on. Let's do it, Tigers. Let's do it. So really not a lot of rhyme and reason behind the rest of my logic there. We are going up against right-handed pitchers, I believe, all week. I think Christian mentioned that to me in email, but not in the audio he sent me. Well, a lot of our main hitters, that being Fukudome, Itoi, Toritani, and Takayama, are lefties. You know, favorable matchups against righties, and then, you know, hopefully the other guys will be able to pull through as well. So, I don't know. I could see it. I could see a 3-0, and I'm just going to call it. I'm just going to call it. And I'm going to be wrong, but, you know, this is not about being right and wrong. This is about having a little bit of fun. So, 3-0 against Cebu. Christian, you heard me. We're taking you. And, Christian, can you wrap things up for us here? Tell us a little bit about the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles, a.k.a. Rakuten Eagles. Before I let you get in a word here, let me just explain that we are on a two-year winning streak against Rakuten. We swept them 3-0 at Koshien 2 years ago, and then we beat them 2 games out of 3 last year in their park. We lost against Norimoto, and unless there's a rainout early in their week, we won't be facing Norimoto for this series either, which goes well for us. Anyways, Christian, tell us a little bit.
For the second half of the week, you guys are going to see the Tohoku Rockets and Golden Eagles, the big surprise of the Pacific League. I think, really, I felt they've overachieved up to this point, personally, but they've been playing well statistically speaking. Their offense is really good. They have more home runs than the Lions, even they play in the pitcher's park, so there's a lot of pop. And they've had a lot of individuals that are showing up. Specifically, their starters are also getting pretty good quality starts out of what they got. You're going to see two of their good starters in Manabu Miba and Takayuki Kishi on the weekend, likely. I think both of those guys will put in some quality starts, and they're playing pretty well. Though Miba, to me, has kind of overachieved up to this point. But he's also shown he can be good. To me, I see him kind of as a number three. But right now, he's playing ridiculous. And to me, it doesn't make sense. He's having a career season on pace for. And then he could be seeing a spot starter on the Friday. I'm not sure who exactly it's going to be. It could be Kenji Tomura. It could be anyone. It could be Yuri Furukawa. The big thing that's surprising also is just their bullpen being better, because last year it was such a bad weakness, and that's what kept them down. But a guy like Hiroyuki Fukuyama has been playing well, and that's so far that's an early surprise to the season, because in the past he's been an unwatchable player. Now for the hitting, of course, that's what their manager Masataka Nishida specializes in. He improves the team's offense, and overnight I think we've seen that. Specifically, Igoro Mogi, the second-year player out of Waseda, he's the one who's really been tearing it up and probably an early MVP candidate. They also got plenty of pop from guys like Zealous Wheeler and, of course, Carlos Peguero. You've probably seen a lot of Peguero highlights through the home run distance and tape measure that he's hit, though he has cooled off a bit since that early start. But the home runs are there, and that's what's really helped them. They still have Takeru Okajima in the outfield. They have guys who hit for average. Shima Uchi is pretty decent. The big thing is Zealous Wheeler playing much better from when he had a terrible April. And then, of course, Genji. Sometimes I think his name's Genji Akabinai, but he goes by Genji. And, of course, he was a solid guy from their Japan Series team a few years ago. So there's a lot of hitting depth. And the defense, of course, behind guys like Kazuya Fujita, it doesn't hurt to have guys like them either. So very well-rounded team, though I don't think they're the best team in the Pacific. That's usually reserved for the team in Fukuoka, as you all know. But the Eagles have been playing very, very well. I still think their middle relief is the weakness. I don't know how seriously we could take it for a whole season. Maybe some team will finally send them back to Earth. But middle relief, it's the only thing I'm not sure of. But once Yuki Matsui's in, he's been pretty automatic. So, yeah, I think the Eagles will take 2 out of 3, and I predict a 500 week for the Tigers. That's pretty much what I think. I think the pitching is going to shut down the Tigers a bit. I don't know, but I'd also think the Eagles' record, I don't think they're as good as their record is, so you never know if the Tigers can compete against Miyama or Kishi, but I do see the Eagles shutting them down for the most part, and their offense maybe lining them up for a game. So, Tigers, 2 out of 3 from the Lions, 1 out of 3 from the Eagles. That's how I see the week ahead. Once again, though, thanks for listening to this season. Hopefully, you know, maybe if I'm back on the show, that means a rematch of 1985 happens. Eh? No, maybe. Just maybe. Anyways, thanks again for listening to my talk on the Pacific League. We'll see you guys next time. And as always, you can follow us at Graveyard Ball on Twitter and follow our work on the Lions at graveyardbaseball.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, these Rakuten Eagles, you know, as Christian has mentioned, you know, they've got a fabulous lineup. They've got Igoro Mogi as their leadoff guy. He is second on the team in home runs, but also he's got some good speed. He's got some decent glovage in the outfield. And then he's followed by three straight foreign hitters, you know, big hitters. You know, you got Carlos Peguero, followed by probably Zealous Wheeler, and then somebody Amador. I forget his first name, pardon me. Anyways, these guys all have the potential of hitting big home runs. But this is something that I heard on Toraban, which is a TV show here locally. Mogi and Peguero, who are leading the team in home runs, are both left-handed hitters, and Koshien is not a great home run park, especially for left-handed hitters. So hopefully we can tame those two beasts, and then by taming them, hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit more damage, you know, mowing down the rest of their lineup. And then hopefully our guys, who are used to playing at Koshien, will be able to do some damage to their less-than-elite pitchers. As As Christian mentioned, we are not going to be facing Norimoto probably. It looks like maybe Tomura and then Mima and then Kishi. Mima and Kishi are pretty formidable pitchers. And like Christian said, Mima has been kind of playing a little bit over his head. You know, he's punching above his weight, so to speak. He's going up against the Blue Goat, so I could see us winning that one if the Goat can keep what he's got going. I don't know. I still don't have confidence in Ono. I really think that he needs to be farmed and someone else brought up. Why don't we bring up Yokoyama? He pitched 5 innings on the farm earlier this week of 1-run ball. And I just think he might be a better option right now than Ono, who has not really fully impressed in any of his outings. And maybe he needs a bit more refinement on the farm before we bring him up for the second half, or maybe for the road of death in August, something like that. And then Iwasada versus Tomura, I say, is a toss-up. But you know what? I'm going to say that our streak against Rakuten ends. Rakuten has been too good this year, and I just see them, you know, even though they're not having an outstanding interleague, I'm going to say that we go 1 out of 3 in this one. So we end this week. Did I do this every week? I said 3 out of 3 first half and then 1 out of 3 second half. I think so. So I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to be right for once, maybe. But I'm going to say 1 out of 3, Rakuten takes this series, but we will still hopefully wrap up interleague with, that would give us, what, an 11-7 record, if in fact I'm right. So there you have it. That is our preview and partial review of the interleague schedule. A couple other news items just to mention. First of all, Tsuyoshi Nishioka has taken to the field. He is rehabbing hard, and apparently he looks better than ever, is what I've read. You know, he's been hitting the ball well. He took the field where, you might ask? Shortstop. Wow. Shortstop. Can you imagine Nishioka at shortstop? I don't know. He's 32. He'll be 33 at the end of July, I believe. I don't know if he's that mobile, but he is lighter than he was before, which, you know, and they say he's faster than he was before, so I guess there's a chance that before he breaks down again that he could be our shortstop. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of other news, so we are going to wrap things up. I just want to remind everybody, though, I am going to be at Koshien tomorrow, June the 13th. If you hear this, if you listen to this before the game starts, if you're going to be at the game, hit me up. Give me an email, thehunchingtigers@gmail.com. I'd love to meet you. Actually, I had a guy named Mike. Mike said, hey, I'm going to be at the game. You want to meet up? And so there you have it. I am going to be meeting Mike after the game. I've also got time before the game, so if you want to, hit me up. It would be great to see you, talk to you, get to know you as a fan, as a person. Also, if you're going to be taking pictures at any of the games, whether at home or on the road, feel free to send those my way so I can use them on the series recaps on the website. I got some pictures for 2 of the 3 games in Fukuoka. Outstanding. I appreciate it, Wizzo, Mr. Picture Man. I appreciate it, Mr. Takesh. So yeah, if you guys are at games, send me the pictures. I would love to use them. That would be so awesome. Once again, I do want to thank you for your time, your passion for the Hanshin Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at the website, www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. Just type in those 4 magic words, everybody. Hanshin Tigers, English News, H10. Subscribe, write a review, send the links to your friends. Let them listen as well. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. I'm often posting little recaps or little summaries of articles that I find that are interesting that I don't have time to translate on Facebook. So again, the Facebook page is Hanshin Tigers English News. You'll find us there. We've got about 500 people in that group. It's growing slowly but steadily. You can also follow T-Ray on Twitter at the Hanshin Tiger. So until next time, let's keep cheering until we start calling the Giants guys by little nicknames to stop being intimidated by them. Right, Nobu, Yoshinobu, Takahashi, Yoshinobu, Kantoku, Nobu. All right, guys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, have a great week. Enjoy your baseball. Hanshin Tiger.